Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved. Sing we now, sing for the year,
sing for the laugh, sing for the tear. Welcome back, 7 to the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Michael Salzman. He's with the VP with Berman & Company, a direct research director for Employment Policy Institute, EPI. Is that EPI.org?
EPIonline.org.
Online, okay. Tell us about your organizations.
Yeah, so the Employment Policies Institute, we've been around for over 20 years now, and we study policies that impact the entry-level job market, and particularly things like the higher minimum wage, paid sick leave requirements, policies of that nature.
All right, so api.online.org.
EPIonline.org.
EPIonline.org. So check that out, folks. Okay, Mike, I've been probing you for my instincts that unions are at the heart of this scheduling, this fairness scheduling flexibility thing, and you said that it was. I've known for decades that unions were behind raising minimum wage because all of their people are making more than minimum wage, so why would they care? But they put in their contracts, don't they, Mike, that their percentages are based on a factor off of the minimum wage. And so if the minimum wage goes up, then these guys automatically get a raise, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, that you know, I think historically people kind of looked at it and they said, well, the minimum wage is going up.
Pardon me, without 1 ounce of increased productivity.
Well, that's the rub, right? Yeah. I think historically, you know, if the minimum wage went up from $5 to $7, people said, well, you know, no union member's making that much. And so they were interested in it because, as you just mentioned, because there was a provision in their contract. Now, looking forward, when you start talking about going to a $15 minimum wage, there were actually many thousands of union members, for instance, in the state of California, who are going to be affected by an increase in the state's minimum wage to 15. And so I think unions have realized that at these higher numbers, it's not just a matter anymore of triggering a new round of contract negotiations, but they can actually use their financial might and their power at the ballot mm-hmm. box to get raises for their members and raise the bargaining floor from which they can then go back to the employer and say, well, 15 is the law now, so that means you got to give us 17.
So see, this is the union leadership using public policy, using their cronies in the political parties to mess around with the employment policies that you and I have to deal with, and it winds up hurting. This is where I come down on this thing, Mike. It winds up disproportionately hurting small businesses. Even though most small businesses will never be organized by a union, although some are, I know they're moving down market with their actions. Most small businesses won't be unionized. It's still the result of their attempts to strengthen their own positions have negative effects on small businesses. And Mike, that's when they become my enemy.
It's collateral damage. You're exactly right. You know, unions try and shape and reset the policy environment. And I'll tell you, they've got their eye now on the South. I think the unions see where manufacturing is moving. I think they see a big
yep.
area of the country where unions have historically not had a stronghold. So they've got their eye on the South. They've got their eye on the restaurant industry. I mean, those are the places where the union thinks that long term there's growth opportunities.
And this minimum wage and the flexibility, the fairness flexibility debate, that's the bullseye right on the hospitality and the food industry, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I part of the it's a much broader strategy that goes extends far beyond minimum wage to the National Labor Relations Board.
Yeah.
To legal suits, you know, it's a $70 million effort over the last, since 2012, one union has spent $70 million on this campaign. That's $48,000 a day And I can tell you there's no one opposing it that's spending that much money.
And apparently now we have a situation where the Attorney General just decides to sue people over things she's not happy with. Like she recently did North Carolina in a completely different deal. But I mean, this is amazing stuff happening in front of our eyes, isn't it, Mike?
It's a historically difficult market for businesses to operate in.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing they can do is, you know, there's that great quote from Roy Scheider and Jaws, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
I think the only thing they can do is hang together because the unions want to isolate you.
That's exactly right, Mike. And we wonder why the economy is barely growing. Hey, Mike Salzman, thanks for being here. Come back soon.
Hey, sure thing. Thanks.
I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.